This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And who do we have now,
Fast Eddie? We have, hang on to your shorts there, people. We have Tammy Flo from the FAA, the Friendly Aviation Administration.
That's right. My shorts retaining system is in full use.
Right, and I get to follow the NTSB, so.
Yeah, I know. They're here.
You're in good company, though. Well, you know, after all, the NTSB and the FAA, the best thing they could do is put themselves out of business.
You got a good point there. Well, we actually do work very close with them and provide data for investigations and stuff like that from the weather perspective.
Radar. Well, now, you know, ADS-B, that's like a black box almost if someone is actually recording the ADS-B data.
Oh, yeah. It's very helpful to us when to get the ADS-B data when we're trying to get exact locations of weather phenomenon and stuff like that.
Okay.
So, yeah, we appreciate the NTSB working with us on that.
Okay. You know, and the weather phenomenon, too. Lately, it just seems that the Earth has gone mad. Mother Nature is ticked off in a major way. We're dealing with stuff we've never dealt with before. The Canadian wildfires.
That's crazy.
Oh, it is. Mm-hmm. And it affects everything because six weeks ago?
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, you'd like to talk about turbulence and nowcast. What exactly is that?
So, you know, as I was introduced, I am the manager of the weather research branch at the Aviation Weather Division in the FAA.
Oh, so you're the one responsible for the storms.
No. We're into prediction, not production. So
that's good.
I like that terminology. Yes. That should be on a T-shirt.
Yeah.
So the GTG, or the Graphical Turbulence Guidance Nowcast, is a really phenomenal product that we've developed. We have it running in beta form right now. Basically, it's a gridded turbulence forecast for the CONUS that's updated every 15 minutes with observations. So it's very precise and it's very useful to pilots that have it in the cockpit. Unfortunately, not many do right now because it is only running beta. But we do get some, like some of the airlines are using it in their EFBs to make tactical decisions. It's mainly a Part 121 product right now, but as I said, it's updated with observations every 15 minutes, and we're working to get ADS-B data to derive turbulence from GA aircraft, and that'll be a useful addition to the product as well. So, the more data, the better, but this product has been called a game changer by the Part 121 world. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm envisioning this as an overlay on my weather screen.
Exactly. You know, the gridded data goes out and the user can create whatever kind of display they want. And you can create a display that plots your flight path on it. And you can actually look at a cross-section of the atmosphere. So you can see your flight as it's going along and where the turbulence is, you know, vertically. So it helps you decide whether you want to change altitudes, help you decide which altitude to change to based on the turbulence forecast. And as it's updated every 15 minutes with observations and PIREPs and stuff, it's a very useful tool for real-time rerouting.
This is also something that you would use as a go, no-go item as well.
Well, it's generally a tactical decision, so it's more of an en route tool. The regular version, the GTG, that's more of a strategic product that you would use in your pre-flight planning.
Now, that's a tremendous amount of data you guys have to be disseminating and taking in and analyzing.
It's a tremendous amount of data, and that's one of the things we deal with is processing time, because so much data, we need to have enough processing time where we run the model. And right now the model is running at the National Center for Atmospheric Research, because it's a beta version. Anybody can get the data through a license free of charge from NCAR and build their own display if they want to.
Now, I, as a general aviation pilot, can register for the beta?
Absolutely. And actually, we're looking for people to help us evaluate it. So if you're interested in getting a password to see the beta version, contact me and I can help you do that.
Okay.
Sounds interesting.
Yes. Yeah. I'm very turbulent myself.
Well,
so
I've done a lot of airline flying lately, and we hear about it all the time. It just seems that the turbulence that's out there, there's a there's a lot more of it than there has been recently.
Yeah, so studies are showing that climate change is impacting the amount of turbulence. You know, the jury's out on whether it's a definitive yes or no, but the indications are that, yes, turbulence is increasing because of climate change.
Well, I guess the hotter the temperatures, the more turbulence you're going to get, thermals.
It impacts the global weather patterns, mm-hmm, and stuff. And so we're actually doing some studies into climate change and how it impacts turbulence and global, air route traffic. So
that begs to answer the question, when you're flying over Antarctica and all that in the colder climes, do you get a lot of turbulence in the colder weather?
I would say, I'd have to check, but I would imagine that there's less. But yeah. I could be totally wrong, because really a lot of it depends on the air patterns rather than so much the thermals. And
right,
stuff
so
like
it's
that.
More air movement, air mass movement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's that? And the thing, keep your seatbelt fastened all the time?
Absolutely. If somebody takes their seatbelt off next to me, I make a big deal out of it.
Well, yeah. I would too, because now they've become a flying object.
Exactly. So you're going to hurt me if you don't have your seatbelt on.
Yeah. Come on.
and there have been a lot of stories regarding flight attendants being hurt.
Yes. And I wish, they would sit down more, actually. Everybody else is buckled in and they're still up around the cabin.
Yeah, but we keep pressing that little button.
Yeah.
Getting them out of their
don't
seat.
Don't do that. Let them sit down.
I still say magnetic boots.
Yeah, that's what you said today.
Yeah, keep them
the
planted.
Jetsons.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Well, we're a little ways away from that yet.
So you're providing this data, but as you just said, you're not actually providing a graphical product.
No, but we will be in a couple of years. It's aimed to be operational at the National Weather Service in 2026. So we have plans in place and are doing the work to transition it, so then it will be available in a graphical form.
I wonder if that would be something you could add into synthetic vision. So you could see your flight path, you could see your weather systems, you could see your turbulence
right.
as well.
So we're actually doing some, visual, what do they call it when you wear the goggles?
Oh, virtual.
Yeah, virtual. There you go.
Yeah.
Over in our booth over in the FAA Safety Center. So if you want to come see some of that, come. It's used for training purposes for pilots.
Oh, that's what they always say.
But yeah, very interesting if you want to come see some of our work with that.
I would like to see that.
Me too. It sounds very interesting.
So 2026, so you're still feverishly working away. You've got a long way to go, it sounds like.
No, the product is pretty well done. We're actually adding some new information to it, like lightning data to help us detect turbulence and cloud.
Okay.
Yeah, cloud data, where that can all be used to interpret turbulence in the atmosphere as well. So we're incorporating that kind of stuff into the model.
And tornadoes?
Yeah,
that's a bit of turbulence.
Well, specifically.
What about tornadoes? What about forest fires?
Well,
we're getting a lot of those lately.
We're thinking about starting some research into weather and climate impact on the forest fires from an aviation perspective. So this is important.
I remember I, as a student pilot one afternoon flying along solo, I saw a bonfire and I thought, wonder what happens if you fly through the smoke.
No.
I was well above it, 1,500 feet or so, mm-hmm. and it still bounced that airplane all over the place.
Yeah,
I was oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm, a lot of heat there.
Yeah, but you would think it would dissipate. Mm-hmm. You'd think it would spread out and the temperature difference wouldn't be.
Yeah,
nope.
No.
With a nice little rising column.
Mm-hmm. It works that way. Same with thunderstorms.
I don't want to fly through those.
No, I advise against it.
From my perspective, as an airline traveler occasionally, I figure it this way. Anytime you're in any kind of clouds, you're going to get bumped. Period.
Well,
end of story.
That's like I said, keep your seatbelt on. And I'm sorry.
No. That brings a question. Is more turbulence prevalent during clouds or in clear air?
I would not discount the turbulence in the clear air. We definitely get it when, especially near the jet stream, and that outside of thunderstorm cells in the clear air, you can get turbulence up to 200 miles away or so from
200 miles away.
Yeah, under that anvil of a thunderstorm, if you can get whacked pretty good.
Wow. I had no idea it would be that far.
Yes,
I was waiting
either.
For you to say 10 miles.
No. I've just talked to somebody the other day, gave me an example of he was flying through the green part of a radar return and thought he was safe, and he got bumped pretty good.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't know about that. He said he hit the ceiling. But
ooh.
Yeah, it was a pretty good bump.
There's now a dent in the outside of the airplane shaped to his head.
No, he flies his 150 with a crash helmet.
maybe.
Wow. Well,
My train of thought derailed.
That happens, that happens a lot with us, you know.
Yeah, that's okay.
We're jabronis. But the turbulence, how do you go about detecting this? What tools are you using?
PIREPS, very important. Give us PIREPS. But we do have methods of detecting turbulence on board aircraft using the sensors on the avionics. Most pilots don't even know that exists. It's called eddy dissipation rate. It measures the rate of energy dissipating in the atmosphere and gives us a measure of how turbulent the air is. And so they can report that from aircraft, and it gives us an indication. We use that information in the GTG.
Yeah, but what exact information are you looking for, like altitude, drift, that kind of thing?
Winds, temperature, angle of attack, that sort of thing. Any of the sensor data that gets built into the model. And okay. I could give you more specifics. I don't have the list with me.
But what are you looking for in a PIREP? What's a good PIREP sound like?
Give me location, time, intensity, that kind of thing.
Okay. Well, we've been talking with Tammy Flo. Yeah, got you mixed up with the NTSB.
Oh, no, okay. That's okay. No. FAA. We're here to help.
Of the FAA, and you're in the FAA Pavilion?
Yeah, the FAA Safety Center, and
all right.
Come see our booth.
All right, this is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.